Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome in. Streaming on the Game Nashville app. The playoffs are rolling on as two of the final four are determined. And we're going to be talking to the hockey renaissance man, from Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet. It's also brought to you by day one sponsor Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville, with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee, with furniture in stock and ready to deliver, and the man, Carter Church, with KW Murfreesboro, your real estate expert. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson, Predators insider and watch party host Zach McCann. Boys, hockey goes on. The Preds are done, but I have to tell you, it's been a lot of fun. Zach, you know what's really funny is that I'm wondering why the Carolina social media is so quiet.
Well, I mean, they told us that we should hang some banners, and I think a played five more games than the Predators banner is more than appropriate to hang in their rafters.
Ooh. Couldn't go six games in its playoff series? That could be a good one.
You know, I mean, you know, only won one more game after being done with us, those sort of things, you know?
Yeah, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I just couldn't resist.
You can't get too cocky when you win.
You know.
Everybody's going to be on. Somebody's going to see what you say or do or whatever.
And I have to tell you, I have been a Carolina supporter, fan, the entire time. I even kind of went around the Bunch of Jerks thing. I think that was kind of cool. But you know what? I don't like where they've gone. It's like, okay, snark goes only so far. But you know what? After you win a series, and again, I'm not talking about the fans. Fans are going to do what the fans are going to do. I'm talking about the team's social media coming out. And just the snark and the, frankly, lack of class, you know, just bothered the heck out of me. And quite frankly, Zach, we talked about it, you know, before the show. I applaud the Predators' social media for not, you know, stooping to that level. But there's also a little piece inside of me that really wish they had.
Well, I mean, that's the difference between a team that, you know, thinks they're cute when they're not, and a team that's just, you know, rolling along and understands where they're at. And I think with Carolina and just their whole us against the world mentality, their whole, you know, put upon victimhood complex that they have, whether it's in NHL or with referees or whatever it is, it's you know, they're revealing themselves and they haven't learned how to be winners, as evident by getting the pants kicked out of them by the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're the number one seed, you do have a target on your back. No question about that. So I do want to, you know, I had to get that in there. Now we can go ahead and, you know, talk about hockey. But, you know, interesting piece in on Hockey Buzz posted by Kevin Allen today. The title of the piece, Predators Shouldn't Be Fooled by Their Strong Second Half. And, Coach, I have to think that General Manager David Poile is really at a crossroads right now of what to do with this team.
I'm sure he's just losing sleep every night. He does it for sure, because I know David, he cares so much and he wants to do so well. But some of the guys that he signed and traded for have not lived up to expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would have, we might have had more experience and more just swagger in the which you need in the playoffs, and we tried hard.
Yeah, no question. Oh, the effort was there. No question.
We just weren't good enough. And you know what? Vasilevskiy showed everybody how good he was. So good in those games. The first two games were in Carolina, 2-1, 2-1.
Right.
And then Carolina come back with a big, you know.
They got their win in game three. Yep.
And then they just took over. And that, remember that penalty killing that used to just eat us up?
Yep.
I mean, they ate our Tampa Bay's power play, ate up.
They ate their lunch. No question.
Two in
no
one game question. And one in every other game. So it's just, it's.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned there is one of my favorite hockey follows on Twitter is Down Goes Brown.
Yes.
You know, hysterical follow. Tweeted something last night after Mark Stone scored that gorgeous game winner against
the Avalanche.
I know
what you're going to quote.
And he said, Stone from Pacioretty and Pietrangelo in overtime of the biggest game of the year, and your favorite team's GM still says it's too hard to acquire star players, and you believe him.
And you know what?
And that could be about...
Absolutely right. It could be about...
30 GMs in the league.
You know, 32 now.
No, yeah, 31. You know, other, you know? 31 other ones.
Yeah, wow. I mean, you look at that, and it's a great quote from Down Goes Brown, and he's absolutely right when it comes to that. I mean...
And the thing is that David Poile, I don't know if he falls into that category, because you can say many things about David Poile.
He's taking chances.
Gun-shy is
he's not one of them.
Right, that's right.
No question about that. But when you look at this team... And again, that headline says it all. You know, I mean, you can't be fooled by that run that got you into the playoffs. Now, look, if you get to the second round, you get to the third round, okay, I'll take that fooling.
Honestly, I disagree with the central thesis of it, though, because if you look at it, which team is the real one, the second half or the first half? And I don't think you can really answer that question, because the answer lies in the
between.
Middle.
But when you look at that team, think about the team that took off.
I think they're exactly who they are right now. They're a bubble team. That's where they're at.
Correct.
I think so too. I don't think they're a.
They're not a contender.
They're not a contender,
and they're not a pretender.
I think they're from 10 to 20, something like that. 10 at the high at the best, and 15, and you know, right in the middle. And I think they're on the bubble every night.
So what do you do at this point? You know, that's a recipe for having the St. Louis 30 straight years in the playoffs and no cup.
The problem is that in this league, and this is the dirty little secret of just hockey media in general, is that I'm sorry, you're a loser until you're a winner in this league. The Predators weren't sneaking up on anyone in 2017. They were considered a mired team, mired in mediocrity. They weren't on the up and up. They came out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden, because they had a good run, they were considered a part of the league's echelon. That's how it works. You don't all of a sudden have this, you know, building for years, and now it's time to take the next step. No, you suck until you don't, and then you win something, you hope.
Example, this year's Montreal Canadiens.
Exactly.
Great goaltending, great defense, yeah. Timely scoring,
and, nice young and players.
Built for the playoffs.
Players that score goals at the right time and all those kind of things. Everything has gone right for them so far.
So far.
Price has been good. He hasn't been great, but he's been good enough to be as good. The guy who I'm so impressed with is Vasilevskiy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Tampa Bay makes a lot of defensive mistakes. And I'm telling you, he just follows them up and he spits them out every game. It's unbelievable.
Sounds like something we used to refer to that as the eraser?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, but I do want to stay focused.
But if you want to mention about, you know, the Predators and what they need to do to get back into contention, the biggest thing is this organization needs to shed something that has plagued it since 1997. This team has not been able to actually draft, acquire, or develop elite offensive talent.
Right.
Name me someone who has had a career year here in Nashville.
Well, career was good, but he didn't have the team, and we had the team that year that could have won a lot, and they didn't. And you're right; they thought they were okay, but Paul Kariya was his elite talent, but we didn't develop him, we didn't draft him, develop him like the closest thing he was a trade.
The closest thing that comes to that is is Radulov,
and had his best years not in Nashville.
No question. Right. And when you look at
both of them had their best years not in Nashville. Mm-hmm.
The scoring talent that you look in the pipeline right now, you look at next year, Elie Tolvanen's probably a make or break year. Is this player going to be a top six player in this league on a consistent basis or not?
I think he will be.
He'll be a top six player for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah. And that's.
But again, we are moving the goalposts on this. We do not have elite offensive talent. We don't have someone where it's like, yep, that's your David Pastrnak. That's your Mitch Marner. That's your Austin
Matthews.
That's your Connor McDavid.
We do not
have a game breaker.
We paid for those game breakers. Not just Duchesne and everybody's upset with. Mm-hmm. It's Forsberg. I was more disappointed in Forsberg. He's our leader now. He scored big goals in those games in 17 and going through the playoffs. Yep. He's our Marner. He's our Warner.
Our Mitch Marner.
Exactly. He's the guy that we've gone to say, and everybody says, well, oh, poor Forsberg hadn't played that, you know, this and that, and he came off an injury and this and that. Hey, this is the NHL now. Yep. Pull out the big boy pants and go.
Well, the unfortunate thing is with, you know, a player like Philip Forsberg, all of the talent in the world and none of the consistency.
And that the consistency or the finish. Mm-hmm. He needs to score. He needs to score from right in close. Like he did a rebound.
He's good for a highlight reel a year.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, taking the puck out and flipping it up on like across, yeah. Well, across it. Mm-hmm. I mean, talent.
He'll
out
get
of the
you
years,
a highlight, absolutely.
But not consistently every night.
But it would be nice to see, you know, a consistent performance. You know, I mean, because you know, everyone jokes about Phil Brari.
Yeah, you know. Well, again, you want to joke about, you know, Phil Brari. You have all that sort of thing. I want to see a whole season. Like, put 40 goals in. Right, and yeah. That'll shut everyone up.
No, no question. No question. So I don't envy David Poile right now because I think it is a situation of his own making. Yeah. But I think there was expectations that have not been lived up to by, you know, by high dollar talent. Right. You know, you've mentioned a few of them already. No reason to beat that dead horse. But I think that's something when you look at what happens with the Kraken, how do you adjust that? Who do you expose? Who do you not? And we're going to be talking about this over the next couple of weeks before the expansion draft. But it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with this Nashville Predators club, because I think this is an offseason that's a turning point. It's an offseason that where is this team, you know, is this a retooling? Is this a rebuilding? Do you blow it all up?
You can't because of the salary cap. And
see, I disagree that this is the crossroads season, because the thing about being mediocre is you can be mediocre for a long time. Yeah.
St. Louis Blues from 1968 to 1980, you know, to 1997, yeah. 98, 99 when they finally missed the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own words about it, retooling, rebuilding, whatever.
But something needs to happen. This can't be.
And I think David has the courage as a GM.
Agreed.
And I don't think David's worried about getting fired. No. He just wants to win. He doesn't care about getting.
No, David Poile will be out of Nashville when David Poile wants to be out of
exactly.
Nashville.
Exactly. And you know what? He deserves that, but it's not like we have nobody left behind him.
Correct.
You know?
No question.
He is going to do the thing that he thinks is best with a lot of input. David takes more input from his employees or his coaches and his people in the training area. He takes as much information as he can and tries to make the best and they've made some poor decisions, they made some great decisions.
Hey, we're up against a break. We got to go right now, but you know what? We got plenty of time to talk. We got Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet coming up next. You know, they've been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio is Doctors Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Man, what a great staff, a comfortable environment. They do make it a lot more comfortable to get all your dental needs taken care of. And if that wasn't enough, all the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening, sedation dentistry, you name it, they do it. I'm telling you, it's worth the drive out to Jackson Meadows Drive on Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles. Oh, Kenny. Kenny on the wheels of steel, pulling out the P-Funk, pulling out the Arlington. I love it. It is Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and I can guarantee you right now that I bet Jeff Merrick is just absolutely boogieing to Parliament P-Funk George Clinton. I know you are. I know you're going crazy right now. Somewhere on a baseball field in Canada, there's a white guy going crazy.
I tell you what, I love Parliament Funkadelic. Give me Clinton, give me Bootsy Collins all day long. As the guys used to always say, it all happens on the one. Those guys were the craziest, the wildest, and I'm sure you've seen videos of their old concerts with the UFOs, and the guys running around in, like, diapers and goggles. Those were the wildest.
Good times.
The wildest shows we've ever
seen. I wasn't born yet for that.
Yes, you were. Stop it. Yes, you, don't. Listen.
Now, I wasn't born yet.
To the tourists. I'm a local. You can't sell me that one. I'm sorry, Coach. They were great shows. Thank you very much for that wonderful sound montage coming in. I love that band. How's it going, gentlemen? How are you tonight?
Great to hear from you, Jeff. I'm wondering if, you know, in your surrounding area, if people have come out of mourning yet, or are they still going crazy now that Montreal has won the second round series and is going to the to the third round. It used to be the conference finals. Now it's to the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm betting the mood in Toronto didn't get much better last night.
They're allowing people to go back onto bridges.
That's good.
Positive step. That's a positive step. like right now, I mean, this is how navel-gazing this market is. I don't even know that Maple Leafs fans, you know, really care about what's happening with Montreal right now. They are so consumed with what has to happen to this team. What are the moves that Dubas needs to make? How many players do they ship out? What type of players do they need to bring back? What's the team? Like, I don't even think they're at the point about being sort of angry or, you know, whatever at the rest of the league. I think they're still at the part where they're trying to figure out what happened, and I think maybe more interestingly, how upset they should be about it. The history of this league is littered with people overreacting to what happens in playoffs. And you see it with individual contracts. When the guy goes on a hot run in the playoffs, I mean, you guys have seen this a million times. When a guy goes on a hot run in the playoffs and it convinces the general manager that, aha, he's finally emerged, and he gets a whopper of a contract, and then you realize, he was maybe just hot for 3 weeks and had this shooting percentage that was unsustainable, and maybe our team got hot for a couple of weeks and we misread it and we're not really as good as we thought we were. That was the bubble story with the Vancouver Canucks. So I think Maple Leafs fans are in a tough spot here right now, because last year Maple Leafs did all the things that they wanted their general manager to do. Bring in toughness. Here comes Wayne Simmonds. Bring in Stanley Cup guys. Here comes Zach Bogosian. Bring in some veteran dudes. Here's Spezza. Here's Joe Ford. He did all those things, and it didn't work. So I think for some Leafs fans, it's back to the drawing board. I think for some hysterical Leafs fans, guys, they're looking at Mitch Marner and saying, he's the problem. He needs to go. It's almost as if this is like a volcano that's demanding a sacrifice here.
I'll take that sacrifice. I think I can speak on behalf of the Nashville Predators that if Toronto wants to get rid of Mitch Marner, if it's that big of a problem, I'm pretty sure that there's probably 31 other teams that would take that problem off their hands. We're on the line with 100%, Jeff Merrick.
100%.
Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet with us. Coach.
Well, Jeff, how's – hey, good. How are you doing?
Good.
Hope you're doing okay.
Good to catch up.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I just was wondering, the Montreal side of it. They played very well, even though they weren't as good a team over the year, but they played very well and deserved to win the playoffs.
They sure did. You know, we really have to, as much as, you know, the narrative certainly in Toronto coaches, you know, what did the Maple Leafs do wrong or how did they fall apart? You know, really, you have to applaud what Dom Ducharme has been able to do here with the Montreal Canadiens in the playoffs. And I think a lot of that, of course, is in concert with the general manager, Marc Bergevin. Now, you know, you might just look at this and say, let's just pump the brakes on the Habs right now, because what's the story? Well, the story is Carey Price. And we've seen this out of Carey Price before. We haven't seen him put together entire seasons. You know, his save percentage has dropped. He's not that dominant 2017 Carey Price, you know, the last time we saw him really flex his muscles in the NHL. But there are times when he goes on runs. And we saw it in the bubble last year against the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was phenomenal. And that's, you know, probably the main reason why the Habs swept the Penguins in the bubble last year. And right now, Carey Price is in that spot. But in Game 4, you started to see some of that regular season Carey Price sneak in, specifically with that second Logan Stanley goal. So Montreal absolutely deserves to win. You should never have to apologize for having a good goalie. If your goalie's better than the other team. Oh, it's funny. I remember talking to Alain Vigneault once, coach, and he said something pretty interesting. He said, we're talking about, you know, how you win, how you construct teams, what makes a winning team, and, you know, high-minded philosophical conversations. I'm sure you've had plenty of these. And then Vigneault just stops and says, hold on a second here. Hockey is a simple game, and I'm going to explain it to you right now in two sentences. If my goalie is better than your goalie, I win. And if your goalie is better than my goalie, you win. That's hockey. That's how it is. We can try to talk about systems and shooting percentages and all types of things. If you have the better goalie, generally, you're going to win the game, if not the series. That's how Alain Vigneault breaks it down, and I think that's what we're seeing in the first two rounds in the Scotia North Division. Carey Price was on a different level against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then certainly against the Winnipeg Jets.
It's Slapshot Radio with the pride of Stouffville, Ontario, Jeff Merrick.
Stouffville.
I like that. Stouffville. Where are you from? Stouffville. I like that. Zach, what do you got for Jeff?
So, Jeff, put on GM Jeff Merrick hat and tell me, what do you do for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
You know what? That's a really interesting question, Zach. And I've thought a lot about this. And my initial answer is right now, considering how hot it is, and right away after the final game, Game 7, and after the media avails, the market was hot and howling for blood. You know what I would say right away, the first thing that I would do if this was, you know, GM Merrick, I would tell everybody in the organization to go away. Go away, get away from it. How many times, Zach, have you seen an organization, a team, a general manager make a decision because he's angry at his team? Making decisions out of emotional moments never works well. And that includes euphoria. I mean, Dean Lombardi got in a lot of trouble, you know, falling in love with the Los Angeles Kings team that won Stanley Cups, and it ended up handcuffing him with the salary cap. Much like we've seen general managers, you know, react really poorly when the team bows out early in the playoffs, and they end up making moves that they later regret. So I think, Zach, the first thing that I would do if I'm the GM of this team is I say, everybody right now, everyone needs a timeout. Everybody needs to go away and forget about hockey. Go to the cottage. Go be with your family. Don't flip open your laptop. Don't go on your phone other than to text your friends and family. Just stay away from social media. I think the first thing in a hot market like this is to go away, make some space between yourself and the team, and then come back when you're calm, and then start to make your decisions.
Wise words from Jeff Merrick. Definitely.
By the way, that is a very fancy way for me of saying I don't know what.
I wasn't going to call you out on it, but I mean,
I thought it was an artful dodge. I did too
until the end there.
I'll be honest, I wouldn't do a thing.
I'm kind of with you. I am kind of with you.
I might look for a goalie.
Now, I mean, I think Campbell is the answer in net for him. Guy was great.
Yeah. He sure was. He won games. Save percentage was good. Did he outdo a Carey Price? Almost. He didn't quite, but you know, you can make the argument he wasn't that far off. I mean, he wants the Gallagher goal back in Game 7. That's an obvious one.
Yeah.
But really, like, here's the thing. Everyone will be clamoring for the general manager to, you know, make moves around the edges. You know, like last year when you see, like, you know, Joe Thornton coming in and Bogosian. Like, that's all fine. But that's not the identity of the team. The identity is always set by the core of the team, the guys that are going over the boards the most. And a team's only going to be as good as those players. Like, you can pick around the edges and trim it and make it look all nice, and that's fine, but this is going to be set by Matthews and by Marner and by Tavares and by Nylander and by Morgan Riley, and maybe there's a decision there, and TJ Brody and Jake Muzzin. That's it. That's the core. And, you know, you think that there's a lot of young players, and we're dealing with, you know, up front outside of John Tavares, guys that are 23, 24, 25, they're just now coming into their prime. To make any hasty decisions, until, like Sam Pollock used to always say, Coach, you know this, Sam Pollock would always say, don't give up on a young player until you're 100% certain. If you're 99% certain, that's still not enough. Don't quit on that player. And I'm with you. I don't think you quit on the. You come back with the same squad, the same core, because you still don't know how good these guys can be.
So it can work out either way, because David stuck with the core here since 17, and it didn't really work out because we made some poor decisions after that. But it was. I agree with you.
You know what?
Doing less is better.
Further to that point, though, Coach. You know what's interesting about that? The history of this league, specifically in the salary cap era. The successful teams bet on their guys. They really do. They identify who their guy, and you're right. Like sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. That's always a gamble. There's no guarantee. There's no simple formula for all of this. But successful teams always identify who their core guys are, and then bet on them, and bet on them over and over again. Like, well, I'm watching the Bruins Islanders game here right now. I mean, how many times did the Boston Bruins bet on this roster?
On Marchand, on Pasternak. Yeah, no question. So, you know, Jeff,
bet on their guy.
We're up against a break, but I do want to ask one thing. So is Canada falling in line behind the Montreal Canadiens now? Because, I mean, I will tell you, in Nashville, it is decidedly mixed. And I've described this as rooting for Montreal because, Nashville fans love Shea Weber, still do. Want to get behind him to get a cup, no problem. But rooting for Montreal is kind of like your worst enemy going over a cliff in your brand new Maserati because Corey Perry is also on this team.
Yeah, I know.
Doing well, too.
No question.
Sports, man. Like, see, the way that I look at it is I don't cheer for teams, I cheer for players. I know I'm in the minority on this one. But like you, like I'll look at a guy. Like, I have a lot of players that I have a lot of time for on the Montreal Canadiens. Like, I have a lot of time for a guy like Nick Suzuki. I got a lot of time for a guy like Jeff Petrie. Even though his Tigers used to crush my Blue Jays all the time. Damn you, Petrie. Like, I got a lot of time for a lot of players on that roster and in that organization. So I find myself not so much cheering for the team, but just cheering for those players. Just cheering for those guys. The team happens to win it, well, that's wonderful. But to me, that's all about those play. Like when St. Louis won, I was a big fan of Ryan O'Reilly. Still am. I didn't cheer for the Blues, but I wanted Ryan O'Reilly to do well. I wanted a guy like Robert Thomas to do well. Mm-hmm. I got a bunch of guys on Nashville I want to do well as well. On just about every team, there are players that I really want to see do well. I cheer for people. I've been this for most of my adult life. I am on team people, not team organization or team. So I don't have an issue, even though Montreal may be Toronto's rival, still cheering for Montreal because there are people on there that I want to see do really well.
He is Jeff Merrick. You hear him on Sportsnet. You hear him on the 31 Thoughts podcast. You hear him all over the place. He is truly the hockey renaissance man and a very good friend of the show. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We'll try and get you on one more time before we're done with the season, okay?
Would love it, and thanks for giving me a free pass on stick handling an answer I didn't have.
He's Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet, and well worth going a few minutes over, Kenny. Sorry about that. And I do want to tell you real quick about Carter Church from KW Murfreesboro. Let me, Carter, I've gotten to know him as we've worked together with the Predators. I'm telling you, he knows homes. I have seen how Carter's 20 years of media and marketing experience has driven his proven success as a real estate agent. You need Carter on your team because Carter knows homes. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church is your real estate professional with KW Murfreesboro. And we'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN Radio 102.5, The Game. My. Kenny throwing a left turn in there. A little Steve Miller Band. I like it. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, Brent Peterson coming at you. You know what? I'm sorry, but we keep the hockey talk going. Preds are done. Who cares? We're still talking hockey, doggone it, because it's still going. And I do want to talk a little bit about the other series that are going on right now. You've got New York and Boston that just started the second period in game six.
Yeah.
And, obviously, we're biased in here, kind of a big, it's hard for me to root for a New York team, but at least Barry Trotz is the coach, so I can root for the Islanders. But,
I would never root for the Islanders. I root for Barry Trotz.
You root for Barry Trotz. Okay.
Jeff Merrick.
But, I mean, you look at this team, and this is another one where you look at what Barry Trotz is doing in this series, Zach, and he is really completely frustrating the Boston Bruins with not only the schemes that he's running, but with the absolute complete team game that you're seeing this New York Islanders team play.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of some early Nashville Predators teams with a lot more skill. It's that complete buy-in, and everyone is ready to run through a brick wall for Barry Trotz. I mean, the guy's just a wizard in the room, and no one knows that better than Brent. I feel silly talking about it with a man who coached with him right here. But honestly, you just...
I never used to go in the room. I had to stay out of the room.
Smart man. But if you look at just the way the Islanders are playing, and this takes nothing away from the Bruins, who I think are just an excellent hockey team, but... I don't know. There's something about this Islanders team when if they are all gelling and all moving the wheel together, then look out.
I mean, you're right. This is one of those teams that nobody wants to face. I mean, you know, you look at what's going on here.
They smother you.
The winner of this series is going to get Tampa.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, so you look at which team has a better shot against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, I'm sorry, but I almost look at the Islanders at having that better shot because you're looking at a structured, defensively oriented team, opportunistic from an offensive perspective, going up against a run-and-gun team with outstanding goaltending that erases every mistake their defense makes.
Right. You're right.
I mean, if I'm going into that, I'd feel better as the New York Islanders than I would as the Boston Bruins, even though the Boston Bruins, I think Rask can match Vasilevsky in net or at least come close enough to erase as much of the advantage.
I don't think Varlamov can, though. I don't think so. I think Rask is the only one that can really step up to Vasilevsky's style. And
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I also look at Boston's a one-line team. You've got the perfection line, and that's it.
I disagree.
They got Smitty, Krejci.
That second line of Taylor Hall and Craig Smith has done work.
Krejci's a centerman. He's been a
veteran. Okay, I'll give you that. You're right.
They got two lines. They don't have three, though.
Yeah, but again, they aren't Tampa, who has
four. Five.
Yeah, five.
Probably six or seven more, you know, waiting off of, you know, to bring up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so... This could be a really fascinating series. Whoever, you know, wins this one, personally, I think this one ends tonight. I really do. I think New York wins it in front of their home crowd. I mean, you know, it's been fun to watch the last couple of games in Nassau County Coliseum in that just, you know, horror show of a barn. Yeah. Even being, you know, renovated, it's still a horror show.
Yeah, right.
But it's their horror show. And, I mean, it's kind of like, you know,
it's really loud.
It's the old Vet Stadium, yeah. And you know the Eagles had a huge advantage at Vet Stadium because they knew where every pit was in the AstroTurf, every seam, and they drive people towards them. So I mean, you look at this series, and Zach, I mean, you know, Rask is playing well tonight. You know, Varlamov's playing well tonight. You know, I mean, what cracks this series? I mean, how does New York win tonight?
I think the answer is Matt Barzal. I mean, in these moments, look no further than what happened last night, and I'm sure we'll get to that series as well.
Oh, yeah.
But do you want to see in the playoffs your star players come out and play hero? And no player exemplifies that more right now than Matt Barzal for the New York Islanders. That kid has come alive during these playoff runs so far.
Well, you know what? And you're right. He's been great the last three games for sure, and he's lit it up and he's gotten loosened. And they haven't. And Boston forgot about him, all about him because he had done nothing for a series and a half. And all of a sudden, he comes up with two goals, and then he gets another one in overtime or whatever. The other night, he got one tonight. I think didn't he score tonight?
No, it was Travis Zajac.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyways, I always said one thing we had pasted right up in our coach's room. The team that is the best team never wins. The team that plays the best always wins. And you know what? There's so many close teams that if you're not playing your best and you don't have a better goalie, you're in a lot of trouble.
And I think
you gotta be playing. And Montreal showed us. We showed them in 17.
Yep.
St. Louis showed them last year. They weren't the best team, but they were playing the best at the time. And the Islanders are playing very well right now. Boston's a better team, but...
Yep. You know, we have been talking about Montreal, and something just literally caught my eye. I appreciate some confidence in a player, but I also appreciate some reality in a player. I literally just saw this headline on NHL.com. That Connor Hellebuyck thinks the Jets are close to having a dynasty.
There's a lot of
it was my thought, too.
A lot of teams that are ahead of him right now, and he's got a long ways to go for a dynasty.
I mean, a dynasty doesn't necessarily have to be good.
maybe he should have said, we have a chance to win, be a contender. And they're not even a contender right now.
Until they get a defensive core,
right,
is the biggest problem there.
I just saw that and went,
and boy,
really?
Mark Scheifele's comments today were...
Yeah. You know what? You know what's interesting?
That's a guy I used to really have a lot of time for.
Those year-end press meetings, the guys say stupid things because they're still, like you said, like Jeff said, they're still upset or they're get out of there and don't say anything. Or if you don't say nothing, something nice, don't say it at all. But I guess he said his nice part was, we're going to be a dynasty. And he just some reality, like you said.
When he comes back and says he thought that a Montreal player was going to be the one to take him out of the series, not the Department of Player Safety.
Right.
And it's like,
there's no responsibility taken for a dangerous hit that put a player in the hospital.
You don't have to do that. You can hit the guy, but you don't have to do the things he did.
Well, what he could have done was try and play the puck and save a goal.
Right, exactly. And it didn't save anything.
No.
Except he got four games, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and he has to sit out the first game of the season next year.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So plenty to talk about, that's for sure, here on Slapshot Radio. And we will be right back to wrap it up right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Oh my. Kenny likes going deep when it comes to Slapshot Radio.
Rock with me now, rock with me.
Uh-huh. You pulling out Freddy's Dead? I mean, come on. Come on now. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Kenny behind the glass on the wheels of steel. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you for your weekly hour of hockey insanity. That's actually going to start an hour earlier beginning next week. We're going to be on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m.
Perfect.
Right after Stillman and Company. So we're going to start that next Wednesday night right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And then the following week, we're kind of going to get shuffled to a Monday night because of a conflict with the Nashville SC and with the Nashville Sound. So that's okay. That's fine. No problem there. So, you know, we're flexible. We'll go wherever. It's not a problem.
You know what was so interesting is we just took our headsets off for 2 minutes and we were arguing and having a fire.
Yeah, I like it.
It was great. And then we had to put our headsets back on and be nice again.
So we've got a good idea of what's going on here. Okay. You've got the, you've got one last series that we really haven't talked about. And that series is Vegas and Colorado, which has been, you know, which we spent most of the commercial break talking about.
Which has been the best series of the second round.
No question about it. And it's been a real, you know, to borrow an old phrase, you know, it's been a Dickens of a series, the best of times, worst of times. Colorado owned the first 3.5 periods of this, maybe 4.5 periods of this series. It's 2-2, but Vegas has been absolutely dominant since the middle of the second game.
I will disagree with that just because last night's game, Colorado dominated the first two periods and fell apart in the third.
Correct.
But you look at these teams, and this is the reason why Colorado's on the ropes right now, is because Mark Stone has elevated his game to such a level that he is frustrating and eliminating the Nathan MacKinnon, Rantanen, Gabriel Landeskog line. Like, the Avalanche, for the first time, it feels like in 2 years, need more from their top line.
And they get Kadri back, too, that's coming up. I don't know.
Which one will
more,
be a difference
one more
maker.
Game, one more game, right?
No, anyway, I think he's back after this.
Is he back tomorrow night?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that could be a difference maker.
That won't help him at all.
it depends on which, you know, on which Kadri comes back.
He can be a player if he wants to.
There's no question. If he smartens up, there is no question he
can
be.
Actually, I'm wrong. He will not be then.
Okay. He's not back.
He will not
be in for game six, but could be in for game seven.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, Vegas leading that series 3-2. And you look at the two teams that are sitting back and waiting for the winners of these series. The good news is, I mean, Canada has granted the NHL an exception, so there will be games in Montreal. They won't have to move them to Buffalo or somewhere else in order for the Canadian team to play. So that's good, and I hope they can bring some folks in. to Montreal.
Well, they had enough outside, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
They were pretty close together too.
Yeah, they were. So it's going to be it'll be interesting to see what goes on there. But which team? So if you look at the two that are still going right now, Zach, which team is the better matchup for Tampa in your estimation?
I think from the matchup perspective, if you're Tampa, you're whatever. I think you're thinking we know how to beat either one of these teams.
True.
I think if anyone has the ability to scheme through a Tampa Bay, I would say it would be Barry Trotz and the Islanders, just because I trust that coach more than I trust Bruce Cassidy. I think, and that's to say nothing against Bruce Cassidy. He's one of the best coaches in the league. He's just coming against one of the other best coaches in the league.
It's fascinating because the interesting piece is game one in each of these series will be the first time these teams see each other. That's what's really going to be interesting
about.
It'll
be a feeling out period. Definitely a feeling out period. But you know what? Both teams are playing well. The goaltender, we go to the goaltender, Grubauer. Second, I've always been a backup. Finally made it number one. And then you got Fleury. He tried to catch the puck across his body and missed it. And then he's got so much mental toughness that he just came back and made great saves after great save. And Colorado gave him everything they had, and they couldn't get him. He was just playing well. And it went to overtime, and Stone, like he said, steps up and does a great job for him.
The real question is, does anyone pick Montreal if against either Vegas or Colorado?
I don't think anybody will pick Montreal, but Montreal might have a chance at this. And not the whole thing, but at,
you know, I think what'll help is an element of surprise, that feeling out period that you're talking about in this. I think that may help Montreal in the first game, and you steal that first one and all bets are off. And again, we tend to do this, but if you go back and compare to the, Montreal, you can compare Montreal to Nashville in 2017. Nashville won the first game of every series that they won.
Oh, I mean, and that's where when you start on the road, if you can take game one, it's almost better to start on the road.
Right.
But if you look at just the way that Montreal, just the division they played in, that North division was pretty pathetic.
It was good hockey, but that was not
a good division. And I think, Montreal wouldn't have made the playoffs in any of the other divisions in the NHL.
That's true.
So you look at that kind of thing, and you can look at it one of two ways. Does it mean they're fresher because they didn't have a higher level of competition? Or are they not sharp enough to hang with arguably the two best teams in the league?
It's a good question. I mean, and this is the one that get answered, because, again, you're going to see the exact same thing, in Montreal versus, Vegas or Colorado. Personally, if I'm Montreal, I mean, again, this is one, which one do you want, the lady or the tiger? I mean, either one, you look at them and go, could I play Winnipeg again?
I think they're going to want to play 2 days after or a day after this, because these two teams are going to beat each other up. Unless they can get it done tomorrow night.
I think if I'm Montreal, I want Vegas.
Why's that?
I don't think Montreal has the defensive firepower, Carey Price can be the best goalie in the world when he's on. But I don't know if they have the ability both defensively up front and on the back end to contain the Nathan MacKinnon line.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I disagree with it only to the point that Vegas throws four lines over the boards at you and just comes at you in waves. And they had the puck the whole first night or first game. They had the puck the whole night, Colorado come down and score, and then Colorado would get a power play, they'd score. So that's why the games were so offside. The 7-1 game was an awful game for them. So I just think that, that's why we play the games. We can sit here and talk about it all the time and have fun about it, but that's why we play the games.
Wait a minute. Who had 754 in the pool when Coach said that's why we play the games?
That's why we play the games, and sure enough we will play the games, but you know what? We'll have 18,000 fans in the U.S. city, and we'll have hopefully more than 2,000. Yep. But it's
but they'll be darn loud. They will be.
Yeah.
But. So it's going to be a fascinating couple of days. Next Wednesday, when we move to 6 o'clock, we will certainly have two series to talk about. And the other thing that I think may not play in Montreal's favor is the break that they're getting right now. I don't think that helps them at all.
4 days helps you, 3 days helps you, but five or more, and you're rusty.
Rust turns to rust.
Rust turns to rust.
Right? You know, and exactly. I mean, but the interesting piece is, okay, Tampa finished last night. If this one goes seven, you know, you're going to get 6-7 days off on that one as well. And you always they always want to make sure
out the window for Tampa.
Yeah, good point. They had somebody didn't play all year because, come up and dominate.
Look at what happened to Vegas. They had game seven. They had to play 2 days later, and they just got steamrolled. And now they're back in it, and they got their confidence back. They lost their confidence for a while, and they weren't playing as a team, and they're doing stupid things on the ice. And now he's got them reined in, and they're playing well. And it's going to be a tough series for both of them to get out of it.
You know what? We are up against the end of the show, but I do want to wish the best to a member of the Preds communication team who has just put in his last Preds official podcast. A member of the Ginger Brigade has left the Nashville Predators. Thomas Willis has done an outstanding job in the communications department. For Nashville, and really did a great job on the Preds official podcast as well. So we want to wish Thomas all the best. We're certainly going to miss seeing him around Bridgestone Arena for the Nashville Predators games. And that is going to do it for Slapshot Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A big thank you to our guest, Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet. We always love having him on the show. And we'd also like to thank our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations, and Carter Church, the man from KW Murfreesboro. When you visit one of our sponsors, please make sure you tell about him. You heard him on Slapshot Radio, and thank him for their support. For our producer, Kenny, our co-host Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.